Welcome to Profit Boss Radio, where successful women have paved the road to their own financial freedom. Each week, your host, Hillary Hendershot, financial coach, money mindset expert, and experienced wealth manager, will help you discover the keys to the wealth and peace of mind you want and deserve in her no-nonsense and authentic style. Starting right now.
Welcome to Profit Boss Radio, episode 58, how Hannah found $100,000 in her closet. So a couple of months back, Rachel, my assistant, suggested today's guest. I had no idea who she was, but when I saw what she had accomplished by the ripe old age of 19, of course, I wanted to know more. Rachel loves fashion, and my guest today started a side gig that turned into what seems like a thriving business in the online fashion industry. And, you know, I know very little about fashion per se. If you've been listening to this show, you know, I don't really care about sports unless it's the San Jose Sharks or if the 49ers happen to win a game a decade, or really fashion. That's not really true. I do care about fashion in the sense that I know if someone is sporting an 80s do, okay? And I know that I have what my hairstylist refers to as relevant hair. But the idea that I have to wear what some model is wearing just because she's wearing it is so beyond me. That is so not me. But I still think I dress in fashionable ways. I'm not behind the times. I mean, you know, there are pictures of me on my website and such. And yes, of course, those are my bestest days with the hair and the makeup. And I know you know that. But I get the sense that some women change out their closets every season. And the whole idea of that is so ludicrous to me. That is not how I will spend my time or my money because shopping for clothes takes so much time. I love shoes. Like any lady, although I really don't appreciate the stereotypes or the men who say, my wife spends all my money on shoes. I can get that those $800 Stuart Weitzmans are gorgeous, but many of you have zero business wearing red-soled shoes. Just no business. I might own a pair of those someday, but probably not. The one area I am willing to spend money on is bags because you use those every day and they do make you look like a certain level of professional and successful. But I mean, I maybe spend $400 and I carry the same bag for like 2 years. And I see purses out there for thousands of dollars. And I just laugh. Even consignment retailers where you can get used brand name purses for fewer thousands, like less thousands. I guess they must have started at $5,000 for a bag because online used, they're just $3,000. I see those numbers and I just shake my head. It's like not even compelling for me to try to make it work. If you are independently wealthy, more power to you. I mean, I could retire today in some places, not in Silicon Valley, not yet, but I could retire today. Maybe like Costa Rica. I haven't researched that, but I think it's probably possible. So I'm not independently wealthy. I don't yet have more money than I need. So I'm just not in that mindset of like throwing money away. If you're buying $1,000 shoes, you are saying, I have more than enough money that I can just disappear it on something I put on my feet. Do not try to convince me or any self-respecting person that $1,000 shoes are an investment in yourself. No one is going to give you a raise because you look so super profesh in your uber expensive shoes. And I'm laughing because I have a client who I know is listening, who is guilty of the $1,000 shoe fetish in what I hope, and I think she hopes, is a former life. She laughs about it. So I laugh about it with her. D, you know who you are. So stop buying stuff you don't need to impress people you don't like. I mean, my wedding ring cost $3,500, and that's a lot of money, but not compared to what some of y'all are wearing, $25,000 and $30,000 on your hands. And what are you doing making your honey spend that kind of dough on a ring when you aren't even where you want to be financially? It just makes no sense to me. You're willing to sacrifice everything to have what you want right now. In fact, I just have to say it. That's crazy. And if you're broke because of a diamond ring, honey, you brought that shiz on yourself. I don't know. I had a Tiffany engagement ring once. It was beautiful, but it was just a ring. He bought it for $25,000, maybe $30,000. Then I sold it when we broke up for $11,000. And that was $6,000 more than my jeweler friend said I could get for it. She said, you'll never get $5,000 for that thing. And I guess I just got really disenchanted with the whole idea of jewelry after that. I love bling, anything shiny, and I'm in. And I'd love to wear diamond encrusted everything, but the price of diamonds is unforgivable. My wedding ring is tanzanite, and I love the stone. It's gorgeous. It shines. It's like this royal blue color. It's stunning. And I own a few smaller diamonds, but I am just not the lady making huge purchases of clear, shiny stones. That just is not me. Instead, I buy podcasting equipment. Coming to you today from my brand new mic setup. New mic stand, same headset. But the whole thing just feels super dope to me. I finally got it on my desk with the way I want it. So I can podcast, I can make audio any time of day or night. Today's guest does not sell diamonds though. She sells jewelry, but it's affordable like fashion jewelry. And she's made a mint selling and reselling clothes on Poshmark. I hope when I do interviews like today that you're inspired to know that there are a million ways to start side gigs and make more money. Hannah's story is a success and you can create your own. Hannah Wiemet is the owner of hannahberry.com. That's HannahBerry.com. We'll link to it at HillaryHendershot.com/58. HannahBerry.com is an online clothing and accessories boutique for the trendy and classic woman. Since she started her business at the age of 19, she has gained over 2.3 million followers on the fashion app Poshmark. As a young entrepreneur, she's been featured on various media outlets, including Good Morning America, Refinery 29, and So Money with Farnoosh Tarabi. Hannah Wiemet, welcome to Profit Boss Radio.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Hannah, would you tell us what's Poshmark and how did you get started in business at Poshmark?
So Poshmark is a fashion app it started with just iPhone and now it's for Android and other devices, where if you have something hanging in your closet that you haven't worn in a while and you want to get rid of it, you can take a simple quick picture and write a little description, price it, and then share it to the Poshmark community and hopefully they'll buy it. Uh-huh. And that's the whole concept of the app. So when I was 19, one day I was just reading articles about up and coming fashion apps, and Poshmark happened to be one of them. And in the mail that day, I had gotten like a sweatshirt poncho thing that when I tried it on, it didn't look good on me. And I had gotten it on such sale that basically they were going to charge me to return it and I would have lost money. And so I just decided, let me just try out this app that I read about earlier. And I listed it, and within 20 minutes it had sold. I'd made all my money back, and I ran upstairs to my closet and listed everything else that I wanted to get rid of. And people within like 10 minutes were buying stuff, and people were starting to get into fights over my stuff. They were putting themselves on wait lists. They started asking me if I had my own business. And so that gave me the idea, well, why don't I just try out something little? So I decided to get a business license and I started with costume jewelry.
Okay. And I know that you've transitioned to jewelry now. So literally for the people listening who maybe haven't tried Poshmark or haven't seen it or really can't grasp this concept of new and used clothing swap, let's just take that first sweater, for example. Did you take a picture of yourself wearing it, or did you pin it to the wall, or how did you take a picture of it?
I hung it up on a hanger and hung it up on my door, and that's how I took the picture. Other people model their things and things like that, but that was just the first time I'd ever listed anything.
So it doesn't have to be professional photography.
Right.
And so as your business has scaled up, have you invested in more professional photography or layouts, or do you need to write a copy that positions the items? How does that work?
So now that I'm selling actual clothing that I've purchased from wholesalers and jewelry and things like that, I write an actual description about the material and the measurements and things like that. And I wouldn't say that I invest in like models or things like that, but I invest in like better cameras and so better quality images.
Yeah.
Rather than how in the early days I was just taking a super quick picture
with bad lighting and shadows. Right. But you were still making money.
Right. Yeah. It was, everything was still selling super fast, and people who are just selling out of their closets and not doing it as a full-time job still do take pictures like that, and things still sell.
So you are at this time 19 years old and you start to make maybe a couple hundred, maybe a couple $1,000s, and you're starting to see, you know, there's something here. And so at what point do you think it became, could you just take us to the moment when you realized this could be bigger than I really thought?
I think at one point in your account, you can look at how much money you have that's pending and redeemable. Mm-hmm. And I think there was probably like $5,000 that I could redeem and put into my bank account. And to me, at 19, that was a lot of money to have all of a sudden. And so I think at that moment, I really realized, oh my God, people are really buying things. They all really love my stuff. And this could really go somewhere.
How then do you get to be someone who has, I think it's not more like 2.4 million followers on Poshmark?
Yep. It's pretty close to 2.4 at this point.
Okay. And are you only on Poshmark, or are there other apps, other ways you're selling?
I was only on Poshmark for a few years. And then over the last couple of years, I've had my own website too.
Okay. So you're selling it on your own website. And is that hannahberry.com?
Yes.
Okay. And we'll put that link in the show notes. And what do you think, getting back to the question about how do you get to be someone with 2.4 million followers, what do you think is attributable to your dramatic success? What makes you different from other Poshmark sellers? Because there's no barriers to entry. Anyone can do it.
Mm-hmm. I think that the number one thing that really set me apart was that I got in on the first day that the app actually launched. So people knew me right from the beginning.
Oh.
And then also, Poshmark is more of a community. So it's not like an eBay where you don't really have conversations with people and you just kind of buy or bid. So on Poshmark, you're really interacting with women and getting to know their stories and things like that. So you really have to put yourself out there. And people started to trust me, and then they would tell their friends about me. And so just kind of things like that, where you're building your reputation up in the community, and has really gotten me to where I am.
And have you always considered yourself a true fashionista? Is that your calling in life? I didn't know really anything about the fashion industry until I hired my assistant, Rachel, and she's the one who introduced me to you. And so people who are in fashion are always seem very elusive and creative and special to me. Is fashion your thing?
I think it definitely is. I started in high school when I was 16, taking classes at the Fashion Institute of Technology on the weekends in New York City, and just started studying fashion merchandising while I was in high school. And then in college, I was a fashion merchandising major. And I had no idea what I wanted to do with it until I saw Poshmark and started doing this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I've always been drawn to fashion.
You were on Good Morning America, weren't you?
Yes.
Okay. And how did that come about? I mean, did you hire a PR team, or because that's huge?
Mm-hmm. So since I've gotten such a big reputation on Poshmark and things like that, I've been able to work with them to do different press opportunities. So actually, I was on ABC News Live, and the Good Morning America producers saw me, and I got a call that day saying, oh my God, we just saw you. We want to come to your house today. The same day that I had just been on ABC Live, and I freaked out. I was like, I am not ready for this. And so I said, I can't do it today. But a few days later, they were at my house filming me, showing them all of my stuff. And they were in my bedroom closet. It was pretty crazy.
What's that like? It's kind of scary, right?
It's pretty scary. Like, I've definitely over the years conquered public speaking fear through all of these opportunities. But yeah, just casually having Good Morning America in my bedroom closet, it's pretty crazy.
And so there was one number I read that said you made $80,000 in your first 2 years on Poshmark. I don't know if that's accurate. You never know what you read, but I imagine that number is higher now. And so it's been about 4 years. Do you know about how much money you've made on Poshmark?
It's a few $100,000.
And what are the profit margins approximately that you charge on these items?
So really, when I first started out, I was more about, I really didn't know what I was doing. And I was just kind of getting excited if I sold anything and made any kind of profit.
Right.
But now I really try to at least double my money on whatever I'm selling. So I could buy a sweater for $25 and then I'm selling it for double the amount just to try and make that money back and double that.
And you said you're buying from clothing wholesalers.
Yeah. So I do the same thing that like a Nordstrom buyer does or Bloomingdale's. Like I'll go to trade shows in New York City just to check out different brands, and I'll be standing right next to Nordstrom buyers and people like that. And so you set up appointments with them, and then you buy the whole from the wholesale price and then sell the retail price.
Okay. And then what do you do with the money? Do you reinvest it in your business? Are you supporting your lifestyle? Are you saving for the future? How's that going?
So I definitely am right now reinvesting a good chunk of it into my own website and just marketing and things like that, and then saving too. But definitely marketing is super important right now for my own website, because I'm trying to build that outside of Poshmark as well. Mm-hmm. So things like social media and like where I'm going to show up on Google searches, where a lot of money is going towards right now.
Yeah, you and I are kind of in the same boat on that. It's not about putting a good service out there anymore. It's about getting people to pay attention to you.
Right. Exactly. There's so much out there. You have to somehow get attention.
Yeah. You have to make more noise than the person next to you.
Yeah.
So it's turned into a full-time gig. I mean, did you pay for college with your proceeds?
So my parents helped me. I was lucky enough to have my parents help me part of the way, but with the money that I was making while I was still in college, I was able to pay for like my books, my dorming, my food and things like that, so that I was able to not get student loans and things like that. So that was really one of the most amazing things that I've been able to do so far.
Yeah, I bet. That's amazing. I bet your parents were glad too.
Yes, definitely.
And would you take us to a moment when, you know, there are a lot of people, Hannah, who would take success and it would scare them, or it would intimidate them, or this looks like a non-traditional path to success. And maybe they really feel like they have to do the, you know, 8 years of school and the master's degree. And so they would shy away from it. And so I'm really interested in the moments when you maybe felt scared or realized like this is a turning point and that you had to open up or expand yourself in order to really accept the level of success that came your way. I mean, it seems almost magical the way this sort of funnel has opened up for you. Would you just talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. I think that I definitely have had a few moments over the years where I have just, it's kind of scary that you're not having a really conventional career path, and I'm not working like a typical 9-to-5. Everything's on me. How much work I put into it is all on me. But it's something that I really love to do. And so to me, it's worth the risk to not have a typical career path. Mm-hmm. And it really is kind of magical to me as well, how it's been going. And so I don't know. I'm just riding the wave so far.
Very good.
Seeing what happens.
And how have things changed in your personal life? Because success and money often attracts certain people and then by the same token sends people away. How has that gone?
So definitely there have been people that have come in and out of my life since this has started. You know, my really close friends have all been super supportive, and they understand that I'm pretty much working from the time that I wake up until I go to sleep. And so I don't have a lot of free time, or there are certain things that I have to be doing. And then you kind of have to be, I feel so stupid saying this, but that there are people who you have to kind of be aware of why they're coming into your life at certain points. And there's definitely been a few people like that I've had to kind of shy away from. But I think for the most part, all of my really close friends that have been there for me before all this started have really stuck around. And then throughout this experience, I've met a ton of amazing people too, who want to do nothing but help me and introduce me to other people, other mentors and things like that.
And speaking of mentors, at some point, did you get connected with, let's say, a business coach or something like that?
So Manish Chandra, who is the CEO of Poshmark, I kind of like to think of him as my biggest mentor. He is available for me anytime I want to ask any advice, and he'll give me his honest opinions and things like that. And then also, I've been working off and on with someone who works for Morgan Stanley, who has been great in introducing me to people in the industry. And then he's put me on a few hosting committees for events in New York City. He's been really great too.
Because I was imagining, if you're going to go hang out with other CEOs of companies, that you're like 10 years younger than the youngest one of them. Does that ever happen to you?
It definitely does. And sometimes I feel weird about it, but you just have to realize that there's a reason that you're with these people, and you can't be scared, or else it's going to come off as you're scared, and you just have to kind of embrace it and gel into the group.
I know, but I think your particular sort of vulnerability is probably part of your charm too. I mean, to have the CEO of Poshmark available to answer questions to you, I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah.
So what do you, I know. So what are you envisioning for your future? Do you have a long-term plan, or are you more like, I can only see 90 days out or 3 years out? How's that?
I think I'm not thinking super, super far in advance, but I like next week, I'm actually meeting with someone to talk about maybe doing a pop-up shop in their spa. And right now I'm just thinking about little things that I can be doing to slowly build up my brand. So I'm not really thinking I'll have 10 stores or things like that, but really thinking about small moves that I can make to make giant moves in the future.
So speaking of a pop-up shop, that's another thing that seems elusive and creative to me and special to me. So what's a pop-up shop? And if you put it out on social media that you were going to have a pop-up shop, for example, how many people have shown up?
So I've never actually done one before. I've done house shopping parties where people have hosted things for me, and those are just little parties. I've had maybe 50 to 60 people attend, but a pop-up shop would be, for example, this woman who I'm meeting with owns a spa on Long Island, and she does pop-up shops every Friday with different brands. And so you set up for a certain amount of time, and I bring and display my stuff, and it's just kind of like a little mini store for a little while.
And do you collect email addresses so you can follow up?
Yeah. So I have a mailing list, and I have, if people ask to do like a home shopping party, like I was just talking about before, I have people who have asked me to be able to do that before. I actually just did one last weekend for like a Christmas shopping party, and that was really great. So things like that.
And I heard that you learned over time to specialize in jewelry. Was that because of profit margins, or did those items just sell quicker? How did you know that jewelry was your niche?
I think in the beginning, that was what I first started with, was just only doing jewelry. And I figured, okay, you don't really have to worry about sizing too much. Or when you buy clothes, you have to buy packs with a certain quantity in them of, like, let's say two smalls, two mediums, two larges. What happens if a large doesn't sell and only the small sells, or things like that? And so I figured that jewelry, you wouldn't have to worry about that so much. And so that's honestly the biggest reason why I started with jewelry. And now I've kind of moved on to clothing and jewelry and other accessories. But definitely, I think that was what I felt was the easiest way to start.
With charging a 100% markup and running your business, you're now able to pay for your lifestyle. Are you living on your own? Are you saving for the future or for retirement? How's that going?
So I am still living with my mom, but I do pay certain bills, and I am trying to save. I'm trying to save as much as I possibly can while I'm still reinvesting a lot of money into my business and my brand at the same time. But I'm definitely saving, and yeah, that's what I'm trying to really do right now.
Yeah, you're building up inventory. So do you have like another space for all this clothes?
Yeah, so I take up a room in my house where I have clothing racks, shelves, a bunch of shipping boxes, and all of my supplies. Yeah. So it's like I have a mini store inside of my house.
Okay. And if your fashion had a theme, or if, you know, I'm not good at these, but like shabby chic is a theme. I don't know if that's a fashion theme or a wedding theme, but if your stuff had a theme, what would it be?
I think it's really a mixture of things that could be for trendy and classic people. It's really a mix of my customers are really a mix of, like, I would say mid-20s to like mid-40s. So it's really a mixture of things for everybody. I like to think my style is a little bit more edgy than, like, let's say a Ralph Lauren or like a preppy kind of brand like that. But I think it's really a mixture.
Very good. And would you be willing to share, have you made any financial mistakes that you won't make again?
I think definitely starting when I was 19 and then all of a sudden making thousands of dollars, it's money that I didn't have before. So I've got a few Chanel bags in my closet that I probably shouldn't have bought, but you learn from that.
How much does a Chanel bag cost?
I'm smart in the way that I'm not going to pay full retail for something ever. That's just something also that Poshmark has taught me over the years shopping on Poshmark.
Yeah.
But if you're going to buy a Chanel bag retail, they're probably around $5,000. I mean, I don't think I didn't pay near $5,000 for them, but still, it's money that I should have probably been saving back then, but it was super exciting back then to have all this money. So now I know I don't need to go crazy. And these are nice things to have, but you don't necessarily need them. It's better to just be saving for your future so you don't have to be working for the rest of your life.
So if you want to buy something name brand, but you don't want to pay retail, do you do that on Poshmark?
Yeah, I look everywhere. There's a ton of websites, definitely Poshmark. I'm a big eBay person. I like to do my research and I know how to authenticate everything. And I don't know, I'm a big online shopper.
Oh, how do you find out how to authenticate? Is that available online somewhere?
Yeah, there's definitely like websites. But like I was saying, I went to FIT and when I was in high school on the weekends. And so I just remember these things we used to learn in these classes that I would take too, of little things to know and stuff like that.
So I probably should have started with this question, but I'm a big believer in this idea that financial success has a precursor, and that is our money beliefs, kind of what we bring to the table in terms of our perspective on life and what we think is possible. What would you say is what your parents taught you about money? What was your childhood experience of money?
I think my dad is very, he loves saving money and has, anytime I've made any kind of money and I have a proud moment where I tell him how much money I made on something, the first thing he says to me is, put it in the bank. So it's like, ever since I was little, I've had like CDs and all these different savings accounts in different banks and things like that. And then my mom is like a huge inspiration to me. She has had a full-time job my whole life. And it's amazing to see how hard she works every single day and knowing how much money she saves and has been able to make throughout her career. That's been amazing, an inspiration to watch too. And so I've always wanted to be like that.
Does she share with you her income or her savings? How do you get insight to that? Because a lot of people's parents won't tell them that.
My mom and I are very close. So I mean, I would say that she's my best friend. And so we've had conversations like about things like that. But yeah, so she's definitely a big inspiration.
Awesome. Well, Hannah, I'm going to link to, I suppose, your Poshmark presence as well as your website, hannahberry.com at hillaryhendershot.com/58. For those of you who are listening on the freeway or in the subway, and we'll link to Hannah. Hannah, thanks for sharing with my listeners today. It's fantastic to hear about and celebrate your success.
Thank you so much for having me.
Profit Boss, thanks for making it to the end of another episode of PBR. I have been doing a lot of thinking about you. I'm thinking about how hard it can be to change old habits. I mean, sometimes I think how nice it would be if things worked like they did for Keanu Reeves in those Matrix movies. If we could just lie back in an industrial punk rock barber chair and have a little cable plugged into the backs of our necks and just instantly become the masters of our financial domains. That would be kind of perfect, right? Except for the part about having the cable plugged into the back of your neck and the whole industrial punk thing. And Keanu Reeves is so annoying when you get right down to it. But I think it's important to form new habits, especially ones as fun as being alerted when new episodes of Profit Boss Radio go live. You want to know a secret? This is one habit that's almost no work at all. All you have to do is head over to iTunes, find the Profit Boss Radio channel, and hit subscribe. That's it. Then each week, you'll automatically find the latest episode ready and waiting on your favorite device. And the best part is that subscribing to Profit Boss Radio is just the beginning of other wonderful habits, like taking control of your money and learning how to build wealth or starring in your own reality show. Well, maybe not that one, unless it's on YouTube and self-produced. But plenty of great stuff is sure to happen when you subscribe. So what are you waiting for?
Thank you for listening to Profit Boss Radio, where creating success on our own terms happens every day. You're not alone in your journey to a rich life, and that's why Hillary is here to add value in each and every episode. See you next time on the podcast for women and money.